Welcome back into it. It is Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. So great to have you along for the ride as we go into holiday mode. It is the season, and it's been a wild season at that. And as you know, not only is mental health awareness important, as that's been more of an importance and focus for so many over the past couple of years, but especially during the holiday season, it's always tough for so many that maybe have lost loved ones or have a struggling time financially during this time, whatever the case may be, that mental health is always a priority to focus on for some that may be struggling and even in heightened state during the holiday season. What can we do about that? And especially for rural communities, we talk quite a bit, obviously here in Kansas, about farmers and the agricultural industry with a lack of resources for the mental health awareness for that community and just small towns in general. What can we do? What kind of awareness do we have? And here in Kansas, what are things looking like and are we making things better? Really happy to have on the program a dual guest today, the founder and CEO of the nonprofit Rural Minds, Mr. Jeff Winton, along with Nikki Schaefer, the Director of Occupational Health and Wellness at the company of Pfizer. Jeff and Nikki, thank you so much for coming on. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Jeff, first off, let's start with you and let's talk about your nonprofit, Rural Minds. Obviously, you know it. You have a horse farm. You're here in Kansas on the home front. You understand this issue. And I know as a part of the agricultural community, this has been a struggle for many years, hasn't it? I mean, I say it all the time. I don't know how farmers do it where every aspect of their entire livelihood is out of their hands with the price of grain and the weather and the price of their grain when they actually sell it to the co-ops. I mean, they try to make a living when none of it's in their hands. And there's always a massive concern about mental health and the lack of resources in your community, isn't there?
You're absolutely right. And as someone who was raised on a farm in rural America and now actually has two farms, I see this firsthand. As you mentioned, I have a horse farm. We breed and show horses in Kansas, but I'm also a dairy farmer, and I have a dairy farm in upstate New York where I'm from. And you talk about the volatility of the grain market. You certainly know what happens with the dairy industry. And of course, there's still quite a few dairy farms in the state of Kansas. So that's something that, you know, I live and see every single day. There is so much variability, and we've got a growing concern in rural America. As a matter of fact, some of the latest statistics showed that people that live in rural areas, like many of your listeners, are 64 to 68% more likely to die by suicide than people in suburban and urban areas. And farmers and ranchers are twice as likely to die by suicide. So with those statistics, you can start to clearly see the picture that we are focused on. Our organization is a relatively new organization. We were founded 3 years ago as a result of a family tragedy. My 28-year-old nephew, who was a father of three-year-old twins, who was a dairy farmer in New York, where I'm from, died by suicide. He had been suffering from depression, but no one was aware of it because he didn't feel comfortable talking about it. And sadly, we found out about it all too late. So when this happened in my family, we started looking around at existing resources, and it became very apparent very quickly that people that live in rural America, which 46 million people, by the way, 14% of our population in this country, were not being adequately served when it came to mental health resources. And that is what the genesis of Rural Minds was all about.
Well, good for you. I'm so glad you're focusing on this. And it's a scary number with how many are out there that are struggling with this issue. Nikki, looking at it, look on a nationwide scale and obviously focusing on rural communities and Kansas predominantly being covered with a lot of rural communities around the state, where does Kansas rank compared to other states around the nation when it comes to mental health awareness and the resources that we actually have?
I'm actually going to have Jeff answer that question. Yep. About the statistics.
Yeah, I will jump in, and I don't know about the ranking per se, Andy, but I can tell you that the latest statistics coming out of the state of Kansas is that approximately 420,000 people in Kansas are living with a mental health condition. And to put that in perspective, that's more than three times the population of Topeka. Another statistic in Kansas that is of great concern to me, especially since I live here in Kansas, is that nearly 50% of young people aged 12 to 17 who are living with depression have not received any care in the last year. And that's a multifaceted reason. A lot of it is due to the stigma that exists, but clearly Kansas, having such a large rural population, is an area of focus of ours, and one that, now that I'm living here, really hoping to help make an impact and to slow down this runaway train that we all seem to be facing right now.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm so glad that we are. Nikki, how did we get here? Where did this all come from? I know that we just started focusing on mental health and mental health conversations that became a mainstream or normal talking point, I think, over the past year or two, maybe, but before that, it really wasn't a thing. Did we always have this amount of mental health issues and anxiety, the depression in society? Was it always there and we're just starting to focus on it now, or has it been progressively getting worse, do you think, over the decades?
So that is a great question, and I think a lot of it is a combined answer. So thinking of rural communities, thinking of even previous generations, and even prior to the pandemic, mental health was not talked about well in the public setting. And it wasn't something that you wanted to admit to because there was this social stigma attached to it. Many people were told to basically hike up your bootstraps and keep going. It was seen as a character flaw by a lot of people. And individually, that makes it very difficult for somebody to talk about. Where for years, we've had people much more comfortable talking about things like cancer and diabetes and heart disease. You wouldn't walk into, you know, a diner with your friends and family or to a family gathering and start talking about mental health. You would hear other people talking about, oh, I'm being treated for high blood pressure now, or oh, yeah, I've got diabetes. But you rarely heard families talking about, oh, I've been dealing with depression, or, oh, anxiety is really a real problem for me. And we're, as a nation, getting better at that, but there are definitely still pockets. And especially in rural areas where families are still, as we talked about with farming, trying to keep everything together. Like there's no time in a lot of folks' minds to find the resources and the care and even to admit that this is happening to them. And as a result, it layers on additional stressors. So we talked a little bit about a few of those stressors where there's that financial strain or financial concern where so many aspects of your livelihood are out of your control. So that being out of control, there's a bit of social isolation, and all of these things that I'm talking about are just exemplified and become so much bigger over the holidays because there are so many other things happening with extra expectations, thoughts of buying gifts, increased stressors, and that social isolation where, you know, if you're living in a rural area, you might not have a neighbor just next door that you could go talk to, or you may be very busy with so many aspects of the farm, whether it's milking the cows two or three times a day or just doing everything that you need to keep the farm afloat. So it's building off of all of those concerns that really make this even more rough for those in rural America around the holidays.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And like you said, I mean, there's that still that stigma, especially in many of the rural communities. I grew up the same way. You know, men don't cry. You're supposed to be tough and strong for your family. You can't show the weakness in front of your children. You got to teach your boys that if you have an issue like that, you just cram it down because you're not supposed to have that emotion. You know, boy, there's no crying in baseball. Remember, we heard all these things as we grew up, yeah. And there's still that stigma around it. So, you know, being able to release that is good and being able to talk about it. At the same time, and Nikki, I'm sure you know that it's difficult for some, I think, to recognize when it's not a physical, tangible thing. If we see our arm bleeding, that we know that we can patch it up, sew it up, and that we're all good. But something, and I guess as a guy, I have a problem with this one. When my wife says that she has a problem and she tells me about it and I can't fix it for her, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about that. So why are we talking about it? Because I don't know how to fix it in the first place.
That is a great point. And, you know, building off of something else you said also, and I'll wrap that all back together, but as wives and moms, you talked about the what was socially acceptable for men or fathers or husbands. It's true for women as well. As a mom of three, and working full time, and I also live in a rural community and am a nurse practitioner in a local practice outside of my role at Pfizer. So seeing a lot of this firsthand as well. But as a mom and a wife, my job is to keep everything afloat in the household, at least from my perspective, has always been that way. So there wasn't a lot of time to self-care and be able to take a step back. And so it becomes that vicious cycle for both men and women. And you're right, the fixing part. We come from a society of wanting quick fixes and to fix whatever is what we think is wrong. Sometimes it's not just as simple as a Band-Aid on a cut, and things take time. And that could be anywhere from learning new ways of being able to cope with stressors and recognizing the stressors. The number one thing we have to do is we have to be able to recognize when we're not feeling okay. Just like if we have a cold and we have a fever, we know that that is tangibly something that isn't okay. But with mental health, sometimes it's harder to recognize. And when you're not feeling okay, or you just feel blue, as some people would say, or maybe just struggling with day-to-day functioning, there are times to be able to say, I need some help. Whether that's uncovering our own coping mechanisms, looking at ways we can focus on our health individually and pushing back on some of those extra requirements or extra pressures that come from outside mechanisms, or seeking professional help. And while we've talked about in rural America, there may not be as many providers, there are still resources available. So it's really being able to connect those dots, and listening is one of the biggest things. So I understand if your wife says something and you're like, but I can't fix it. A lot of time, people that are feeling overwhelmed or having mental health challenges just need somebody to listen. It's not about fixing it.
That's what she tells me all the time, and I keep trying to learn that lesson. So work in progress on that one for sure. We're talking with Nikki Schaefer. She's the director of the Occupational Health and Wellness at Pfizer. Also with Jeff Winton, the founder and CEO of the nonprofit Rural Minds right here in Kansas. Jeff, let's talk about the agricultural community for just a moment, like that piggyback off of what Nikki just said, on ways that we can work on this, that we can make this better. From the agricultural side specifically, is it getting better? Are people in the agricultural and the farming community being more open to talking about this issue and working to actually bring awareness to that, to where they don't feel isolated, they don't feel alone, and they don't feel the pressures all by themselves with a farm when every other farmer, I'm sure, is dealing with some of the same stresses and issues?
Well, Andy, over the course of the last 3 years since we launched Rural Minds, I have been encouraged as I travel across the United States to speak to people and to meet with other groups to see that there is a movement, there is a groundswell of interest and activity that is taking place in rural America. Growing up like I did on a farm in a rural area, owning two farms, I knew full well that we needed to take the message of help and hope to where people in rural America were already going for trusted information, that if we were to try to get them to go into a bigger city or even a suburban setting to attend a support group or something of that nature, it wasn't necessarily going to happen. Not only would they feel uncomfortable because they may feel that they didn't have anything in common with the other participants, But the fact remains, it's very difficult to get away from a farming operation, especially a farm like I own, where you're milking cows twice a day, and then you're putting in crops during certain times of the year. So what we did was to, very early, 3 years ago, start to seek out those organizations that were already considered trusted sources of information in rural America. And one of those was the National Grange. Kansas has a very strong Grange program, as you're probably aware. They're doing a statewide program in Kansas that at some point I'd like to talk to you about on mental health. And so the Grange has been a particularly important partner for us. We've also been working with the American Soybean Association, the National Wheat Growers Association, the Beef Cattle Producers, the Farm Bureau for Youth. Now we're starting to partner with 4-H and FFA. So we knew that these groups already existed in rural America and were already part of the fabric. So our work is to craft the message and then take it to where people are already going, because we know it's going to resonate there, because over the generations, people have learned that they can trust the sources of information and the content itself if it's delivered in those settings.
That's a great point. I'm so glad that there is such a big push and that this is a growing movement, not only in Kansas, but across the entire Mid-America region, and especially for that agricultural community. As I mentioned, you know, understanding those struggles is absolutely insane, and especially during this holiday season, takes it to an entirely different level. We are out of time, my friends. It is Jeff Winton, founder and CEO of the nonprofit Rural Minds. Also, Nikki Schaefer with the Director of Occupational Health and Wellness at the company of Pfizer. Merry Christmas to both of you. Thank you so much for coming on the program. What a great topic. We got to get you back on again and talk about this again real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Awesome.